Hello, you're listening to the Russian Context podcast, in which we want to put Russia in context again. This podcast is brought to you by the Novaya Gazeta, one of the few independent newspapers left in Russia. Here, we speak about the most significant texts on everything important happening in Russia today. Please support independent Russian media and follow us on whatever platform you hear this. Your likes are very welcome. My name is Denis Nikulin. Today we are going to speak about how Russian authorities deal with the pandemic, what the balance between restrictions and support is, and how Russian community react to it. Introduction. In October, mortality displacement in Russia reached 100,000 people for the first time since the beginning of the pandemic. This way, Russia outruns America and takes the second place after India in mortality displacement. In Russia, overall death rates since December 2020 till November 2021 is 2.4 million people, which is the worst result since 1945. Due to this terrific statistics, Russian authorities struggle with a big and uneasy problem. To stop this death rate, you need to vaccinate as many people as possible, but vaccination company is about to fail because people just don't put too much trust in the government and its Sputnik V. And as long as the Kremlin don't let in any other vaccine, people choose not to be vaccinated at all. To motivate people, the government came up with QR codes, digital certificates, which are to prove that a person got their shot and they can fly abroad, go to public places, or in some regions use public transport. But Russian people don't seem to like QR codes so much. Anti-vax movement in Russia is so strong that even physicians started to invite people to a tour around red zones, that is our quarantine zones for COVID-ill patients. Vaccination certificates are being bought, and instead of a lockdown, we got only non-working days. For better understanding, I need to clear out what non-working days mean. It means that public places such as restaurants, cafes, museums, concert halls, etc. are closed, without any financial support for business people, but other citizens are still supposed to work, because in other case the government got to provide them, which is a very unpleasant scenario. At this point, we can remember how Biden promised $1,400 at a time for most Americans as a support measure, and compare it to 10,000 rubles, which is about $250, for each child in a family that Putin promised this fall. So, Russian authorities try and balance between saving president's rating and saving people from dying, which lead to inconsistent decisions. For example, when Putin says that you must get vaccinated only by choice. But there is almost no choice if you want to have any life beyond your home. Chapter 1, in which Russian people consider vaccination as the devil's seal. But Putin with federal authorities don't want to be the ones who make unpopular decisions. So now, it is region officials' headache how to integrate QR codes. So, for example, in the city of Kazan, QR codes are demanded if you want to go on a bus, which led to a huge surge of discontent. But true problem is that a significant part of Russians believe that QR codes bring danger. A person from the Kremlin told RBC, a very loyal informational agency, that some people consider QR codes satanic. Some people consider it as a threat to freedom. We want to discuss this specific attitude with Alexander Panchin, a PhD in biology and a member of Russian Science Academy's Commission Against Pseudoscience. Alexander, why Russian people don't believe in vaccine against COVID-19? Why they are so afraid of being vaccinated?
Oh, I think that in Russia there is a very real and dramatic crisis of healthcare. It is true that in the past, Russia has approved a lot of drugs which are not effective. We have a lot of medical professionals who prescribe homeopathy and other kinds of drugs which with no proven effect. And so it's actually natural for someone who lives in Russia to be skeptical of something that is approved by the government. And so when everybody heard that Russia has made the first vaccine against COVID-19, which is actually not true. Well, we were the first country to approve a COVID vaccine, but we were not the first to develop one. For example, the Chinese CanSinoBio vaccine, which is very similar to Russian Sputnik V, it had published a study in Lancet much earlier, there was a study showing its effectiveness, while the Sputnik vaccine was still not shown to be effective. And so when people hear about this, they become very skeptical about if whether or not what they are given is actually something that is proven to work and not a PR stunt, for example. And so it takes some time for people to read the articles, to understand the clinical trials in order to come to a conclusion. And not all people do that. So people like me, we try to explain the science to the mass public. But the number of people who listen to us, the number of people who listen to the scientists who talk about the evidence that the vaccines work and that COVID is dangerous and that the virus really exists is not enough. There are too many people who don't listen to the scientists. They don't read the peer-reviewed literature. And so they just have to stick with their intuitions.
What are the most popular delusions?
Well, I think they're the same as in the rest of the world, that some people say that the virus doesn't exist. Some people say that actually the virus was created as a biological weapon. That is a very popular view. But somehow it's still not dangerous, despite being a biological weapon. That's a paradox, but the paradox which some people somehow fit into their mind. In Russia, some people say there is a proportion of people who say that, well, it's the Russian vaccines that are bad, but they would use a vaccine from Pfizer or Moderna or Johnson & Johnson. And I think actually that is a problem, that Russia did not import international vaccines. I think it would be a good idea, because the more people we get vaccinated, the better.
Why World Health Organization does not approve Sputnik V?
Well, my opinion is that while there are some very good Russian scientists who are capable of making a good vaccine, and for Sputnik V, we see that there is enough evidence for its effectiveness. Still, the international guidelines of how to perform clinical trials and how to report them, they are much more strict than what we're used to in Russia. And so from the paperwork part of this, I'm not saying that the paperwork here is meaningless or useless, but still, it's one thing to have necessary data to show that a vaccine works, and the other thing is to have all the necessary paperwork in the correct form to show it in a certain way to an international authority. And I think that that's the problem, that we Russian scientists, they're not used to doing science in the acceptable modern way.
Can we expect that the authorities will break under pressure of those Russians who hate QR codes?
Well, they haven't broken so far, and I hope they won't. But we can see that if you look at the higher political people in Russia, the higher powers of Russia, that they try not to make strong statements about vaccinations. Like our president, who could have shown in public that he has vaccinated himself, and he could be stricter about how important it is to vaccinate. He says that, well, I did it, but he doesn't give you proofs that he did it. And he, in this way, somehow undermines the importance of the vaccination campaign, possibly because he's advised that there are so many people who are against vaccines that they might be against his position on vaccination. So probably he understands that vaccines are good for Russia, but he also understands that it might not be the best political move in Russia to enforce some more strict regulation of vaccination.
Why do people find QR codes so scary?
Well, that's a funny thing, because one of the arguments against QR codes would be that this is somehow some kind of discrimination or that this somehow affects the basic freedoms of the people, while, well, there are so many much more serious ways of how the government restricts our freedom of speech, than QR codes, and these people say nothing against that. No, okay, some people might say something against both things, but I would say that the majority of people who invoke the argument that this is goes against our freedom, they were quite fine when, I don't know, when the constitution got changed and things like that, and they didn't protest. So that's one thing. But I just think that this just comes from the fear of vaccinations. So people are not convinced that the vaccines are safe and effective.
Well, thank you, Alexander, for your comment. Chapter 2, in which people pay to get the QR code. People started selling certificates right at the moment they appeared. Levada Center, this organization claimed as a foreign agent, says that 62% of Russians don't want to be vaccinated, but the certificates can be demanded at work or at an airport. In this case, the doctor just enters all the needed information in the register and destroys the unused dose of the vaccine. Here is how you can get your QR code. This method is even used by city administration officials and physicians. Not very long ago, Olga Shaprokova, a PhD in medicine and a vaccination front woman in Siberian city of Tomsk, bought a fake QR code and later died from COVID. Paradoxical, but some people change their mind and go to hospitals and get their shot, even though they have fake certificates. The government doesn't like this trend, so aforementioned RBC regularly posts various articles about policemen arresting people for fake certificates, showing that they know everything about this market and everyone who will be caught red-handed will be punished. By the way, there are forums in the darknet and Telegram channels where you can buy personal data of people who have bought fake certificates. Chapter 3, in which people go on strikes and physicians invite them to the red zones if that can urge them to get vaccinated. People all around the country keep striking, making video messages for presidents saying that QR codes are fascist and unconstitutional. More aggressive ones attack administration buildings. In Vologda, the strikers came to legislative assembly and had a down on Russian military with Deklavas. In Volgograd, people raided a building of Rospotrebnadzor. In Moscow, a man shot two people after being demanded to put on a mask. And conspiracy theories are spreading as fast as COVID, or maybe even faster. Chief physicians of 11 Russian hospitals wrote a public letter to anti-vaxxers in which they suggested to show seriously ill patients and morgues to anti-vaxxers in order to encourage people to be vaccinated against coronavirus. Here is a quote from the letter. "We are a bit busy and you probably know why. However, considering how many people follow you and your opinion, we can find some time to lead you through the red zones, reanimations and morgues in our hospitals. Maybe that will change your mind and less people will die." Natasha Glukhova, our senior reporter on how the tour went.
On Saturday, November 27, opponents of COVID restrictions visited the red zone in the City Clinical Hospital No. 15 in Moscow with an excursion. The reason for this was the appeal of the head physicians of COVID hospitals, who suggested to show seriously ill patients and morgues to anti-vaccination agents in order to encourage people to be vaccinated against coronavirus. Among the addressees of the appeal, there were also artists and politicians. However, there was a conflict at the meeting. The doctors asked those who came to put on protective equipment. They refused, calling this demand a fascist measure. "Are you afraid of something? Why you won't let us in?" asked one of the visitors. "We'll let you in. Just put on your masks and take an express test. People who come on the excursion endanger the rest because they are in the building without a mask," the doctors asked her. "You called us, not we did come to you," the chief doctor of the hospital in Kommunarka Denis Protsenko called. "11 doctors invited us and showed nothing," burst out another opponent of COVID measure. "You have come and you are breaking our rules," the doctors noted. This fight lasted for an hour. As a result, less than half of the people who signed up for the excursion visited the red zone. The head physician of the hospital number 15, Valery Vichorko, said that during the excursion, the visitors had various questions, including ones about vaccination. But they were provocations. One of the doctors in the hospital who was present at the excursion told Novaya the details of the meeting. Absolutely inadequate people who should have been examined by psychiatrists right at the entrance. Those who passed into the red zone behaved inappropriately. The patients were told that they looked too good for the patients, that they were just actors. Of course, they didn't find the vaccinated, but they didn't draw any conclusions. They said that everything was staged, she said. People from the Russian Guard went with them to ensure the safety of the meeting. As the doctor said, everyone would be allowed in masks, but they needed a hype, because they are bloggers. Among those who wanted to be in the group on the excursion were two little-known bloggers. Anton Tarasov, who has 8,000 subscribers on Instagram, and Nediman Nepetrovich, just 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. They refused to put on the necessary protective equipment, interrupted the doctors, and loudly expressed their dissatisfaction. As Tarasov said, people who are dying in the hospital would not be clean-shaven. They would not be so fresh to give interviews, to show themselves on camera. None of them, according to the blogger, were coughing or dying. But in reality, as the doctors told us, they were. I think this excursion did not change the attitude of the opponents of COVID restrictions towards infection. The main goal that they set for themselves was either to promote themselves or to have somebody to discuss vaccines. But they did not listen to the doctors, and the dialogue really did not take place.
Thank you, Natasha. Physicians who deal with vaccination get a raise which makes 200 rubles, approximately 2 euros, for each person who get a shot. Hospitals are working at their maximum. Almost 90% of beds are repurposed for COVID ill patients. Doctors are running out, working to the point of exhaustion. Some on the internet say that doctors will extinct faster than the virus. The strain is so severe that people count days when they can have a vacation or just simply quit. Conclusion. We ask Mr. Panchin to sum up what the pandemic showed us. What weak points of our country helped the virus to kill so many of our people?
So the situation with the coronavirus in Russia, on one hand, revealed that Russia has some great scientists who can do great things. And right now, with the Sputnik V vaccine, we know that it can be remodeled against new strains. They're trying to make an intranasal version of it. And that is something that gives us hope. But on the other hand, you can see that there is a very deep crisis in the medical system and in the understanding, public understanding of science. And there was something that we knew a long time ago. We knew that many people are not well educated in sciences. There are so many people who have fake science degrees who talk about pseudoscientific ideas in the mass media. So the intellectual discussion of such topics in Russia is corrupted by this ignorance. But the pandemic has shown how many casualties can we have because of this scientific illiteracy. It's difficult to change something in a short period of time, but I think this is a warning for future similar problems which might occur, that we really do need a very good scientific education for everyone. Every person in the country has to know basic things about biology, about medicine, how vaccines work, why they work, what are viruses, what is a PCR test, what is an antibody, what is an adaptive immune system. People are getting to know these things better over time, but I think that it's really, really important that as many people as possible know about the scientific method. Russia has this trend, a negative trend, that instead of promoting critical thinking in schools, instead of promoting scientific education and adding hours of proper scientific classes, we get an increase of other activities, such as we are trying to enforce patriotism. While, in my opinion, true patriotism is not just saying that, wow, we are so cool, but is actually doing something good for your country, like getting vaccinated. That's quite patriotic. You're doing something good for your community. That's one thing. Or teaching religion in schools, or adopting theology as a scientific discipline on the level of the Ministry of Sciences. So I think that these are just symptoms, right? Symptoms of this trend that we are becoming less of a scientific nation and more of a kind of, well, in Russian we have this word skrepy, staples of society, the staples which are based on traditional, irrational views which don't want to adapt in the light of new problems and in the light of new facts.
This was the Russian Context Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we would also appreciate your feedback on our email, whatsthenew@novaygazeta.ru. My name is Denis Nikulin, and I thank my producer, Nadezhda Yurova, and the editor, Kirill Martinov. Thank you for your listening. Until next time.